The airport was extremely busy. People scurrying to and fro trying to make their flights. People on one particular flight were waiting patiently at the gate for their flight crew to arrive. And shortly, here came the pilot and the co-pilot, but to their astonishment, the pilot headed up the center aisle with a long white cane bouncing off each of the seats as he went, the co-pilot being led by a guide dog, and both of them with sunglasses on. This was April 1st, so they thought it was an April Fool's joke. But the plane started and backed away from the gate. The passengers began to talk with each other about, and some rang the little bell to summon the flight attendant. But the plane continued to taxi out to the runway. They began to talk rather loudly among themselves as this continued, and the engines revved, and the plane took off down the runway. And their shouts became a little bit louder, and just about 50 yards before the end of the runway, their shouts became just a loud, "Yah!" And the plane took off. And up in the cockpit, with the intercom still on, the co-pilot said to the pilot, "You know, one of these days the passengers are not going to scream, and you won't know when to take off." You have noticed that only those who can see tell jokes about those who cannot. And if my attempt to get your attention in this humorous way has offended, I'm sincerely sorry. John's gospel has one of its dominant themes, light and darkness. John uses stories, images to talk about, to try to tell people about that relationship that God wants with his creation and with his creatures. He uses those stories about light and darkness. Today, John uses a story of Jesus on his way from one place to another on a very well-known road. Walking along with his disciples, with other people tagging along, and John says Jesus saw a man born blind. Other people had noticed him. He had been there for a long time, sitting by the side of the road. Jesus saw him. Other people noticed. There's a world of difference between just noticing something and genuinely seeing. Jesus saw him. So he stops. Others had noticed and had dropped a coin or two when they felt particularly generous. Jesus stops to do something about the situation. He makes a poultice out of saliva and clay, spreads it on his eyes. "Go to Siloam and wash." Notice, he doesn't say, "You're now healed." The man has to get up, do something about the situation, obey, go as he's been instructed to go. And he comes back a different man. He has been touched, put in the healing stream, becomes a different person. So what happens when we are touched by this one called Jesus the Christ? Well, this man became a delivered person. Delivered from what he had always been told was that his own sin caused his blindness, or his parents' sin had caused it. God's judgment on him, he was delivered from that. Delivered from allowing other people to now set his life agenda. Delivered to become the person that God had created him to be, to reach his full potential. What happens when we are touched by that same Jesus the Christ? We become a delivered person. Delivered from thinking that our sin has caused our illness. Delivered from thinking that we are bad people who need to be good instead of sick people who need to be healed. This man is delivered from all that garbage. Not just is he delivered, but he's also selected. He's selected in that healing to be the person to convey to others the power of God. He now gets to witness to what God has done in his life. It's the same with us. When we are touched by that healing stream, we get to become the person that God wants us to be. We get to witness. We get to show in our lives the power of God. Not only is this man selected, he is selected to be so different that people who had noticed him all these years, maybe even some who had dropped a coin in his tin cup, didn't even recognize him. That's how different he is. That's the power of God. God makes new people. The man who came to me one day and said, "I want you to pray that I could be a better person." And I said, "I won't do that. I will pray that you become a new one." This man became a new person. Radically changed. Selected to show the power of God in the world. He's delivered and selected, but he also becomes protected. A poultice made out of spit and clay put on his eyes. Go and wash. He came back seeing. He rests in God's loving, changeless, eternal arms. He recognizes the truth in the 23rd Psalm that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod, your staff protect me." He knows that anytime there is a shadow, it's caused by light. And he knows the light is with him. Not that he's going to have a safe, carefree passage, but that God will be with him. We're not promised a carefree, tragedy-free life. What we are promised is God's presence with us. We rest in his loving arms. So we also are delivered and selected and protected. I've sometimes thought that two things that I've always wanted to do in my retirement. One is to put one of those big orange smiley faces up in the window. It'd be stained glass, of course, but so that at least when you came in here, you'd have a smile on your face. The other is when you come forward to the rail, that we would hold up a mirror so that you might see a delivered, selected, protected person whom God loves more than life itself. God sent His Son into the world that we might see that love and feel it. Remember today that you have been delivered and selected and protected. At least I want you to know that you have now taken off. Amen.